It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Hey, good morning. Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And, boy, summer's in full swing. There's a lot going on. The schedule, if yours is like mine, filling up, man. Everybody's got something fun to do on the weekends, and they just ain't long enough. So we appreciate you tuning in, spending a minute with us, and learning about how to create some grill envy in your neighborhood. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And Conrad, welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. And I'm happy to be a new grandpa one more time. We finally got a grandson. His name is Misha Alexander.
Cool.
And a funny story of the Misha thing is my son Alex was my first son, and I had a favorite friend in high school who was a foreign exchange student from Yugoslavia, and his name was Misha. And the other one was from Finland, and his name was Juha. And those two guys were well, they were very close to me and a couple of my buddies.
He didn't choose Juha?
Well, I always liked the name Misha.
Sure.
Juha was very funny. Misha was a serious dude, but Juha was hysterical. And for a Finlander to be hysterical is quite rare, I think.
Right, yeah.
But,
yeah, I know. I've worked with one here for about 20 years now.
Yeah, but I am hysterical. So I wanted to name my first son Misha, and my wife being, you know, the prim and proper girl, she's like, no way. Well, years ago, I told my son Alex that I really wanted to name him Misha when he was about 14 or 15. And he goes, wow, that would have been such a cool name. And he never got over it. So him and Jordan are very close. And so when Jordan had his first son, he really liked that name too. And so he, in honor of his brother, he named him Misha Alexander. So it's like the total hat tip to his big brother. And
cool.
The kid's going to have a charmed life, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, right. No, that's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, it's fun to have
a healthy baby boy. And
fun to have
good.
A few more tallywhackers in the family. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So you've got four granddaughters and a
Five granddaughters. Yep. Yep. One grandson.
Right.
And plenty more to come, I'm told. So we'll see.
Yeah. Good for
you,
man.
We'll see. No pressure.
That's an exciting thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Thought we would do chicken out if you must.
Yeah.
A little chicken this week. And we're going to talk about chicken in a bit. I don't know that I'll be doing any chicken in the next few days. I'll be playing chicken. I got a catering agenda that's wicked for the next 2 weeks, and
I do as well.
My daughter and her husband are moving. They've sold everything from their house in Knoxville and they're moving to New York, so they're going to be staying with us until about mid-August. So we're moving in the twins and of course my daughter and her husband, my son-in-law. And so we're going to have a busier house again right off the bat. So I'm going like crazy doing the food and trying to finish up my deck so I can make things safe for all the people that'll be there next week.
Little peoples.
Yeah.
At that. Yeah. You know what? Messing with a deck this time of year, I think there's a whole lot of people that do that.
Let me tell you about it.
I got to jump on it. Yeah, that's right. Working where you do, I'm sure you see a bunch of that. But I got to jump on it and got her done. But it was a week and a half of solid work to get it done, and I don't have the interruptions.
Did you have to do?
I had to clean it all down. I had to repair some railings, and then I had to stain the whole thing. And so all
you
of
stained
that,
it?
Yeah, I did. Well, yes, I guess it's a stain. It's clear.
Okay,
but it's a sealer.
Good.
Yeah,
but that's what you always want to do with womanized wood. I didn't know that. See, when I put my deck in, it was probably 91.
I don't know when
90,
this one's in, but it's old. I mean,
and
it's old.
They didn't know anything about womanized wood. You know, you try to get advice. The best advice I got was look at the grain of the board and arc it so that it cups down.
The cup is up the arc is down.
The arch is up.
Yes.
But now there's this thing called the camo grip, and it's a device you grab your board with and you set the screw in. It screws the board down from the side of it and pins it in like it does for the synthetic decks. And what you don't do is you don't penetrate the face of that board that way.
Right.
And of course, all the boards I put down originally are all
screwed right through the top. Yeah,
and they made it 30 years.
You know, Bob, that device you just talked about is made right here in Grand Rapids. Company called National Nail in Grand Rapids makes that. I know that from my history with the lumber company.
Huh.
But yeah, yep, right on 28th Street.
I know who they are.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, but it's cool. That thing went national with them for them. It's a really cool tool. And if you've not ever seen one, stores are all carrying them. You got to buy the right screws, but it feeds a screw right in the nose of the thing, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It's a super cool.
When you're doing everything by yourself, especially.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Which but I'll be doing again this weekend.
So some of you out there, some of you out there do what I did and just keep the same configuration of the deck, but just spruce it up.
Right.
Right. Others of you are probably going, you know, I want a little grilling area over here, or, you know, I want a little of this or that. And that's when it takes some design. It takes some thought and a pretty healthy budget because this stuff ain't cheap anymore.
Well, and I'm going to get on my favorite horse again. Make sure you plan in a roof. It took me way too long to get a covered grilling area.
Yep.
I threatened to do it year after year after year, but, you know, when you got kids and house and businesses and all this stuff, it's easy to put it on the back burner because the front burner is usually what has to feed the family. And the next one is what the wife is really bugging you about because you want to get her off your back. And you can't get all that stuff done and then make you happy because you got to be done by hunting season.
Right.
And come hunting season, ain't none of that getting done
right.
in my house.
Right. And, you know, I like you, I have a roof over my grills. Not all of them. I keep some of them in the garage. I just don't have room for all of them out on the deck. But the three that are on the deck are under a roof, and it does two things. One, it keeps them cleaner, but two, it also lets me grill year-round regardless of the weather. I'm standing out of the weather, and the grills are out of the weather, and they function a lot better. If you're getting rain or snow on your grill when you're trying to use it,
its
effectiveness goes way
down. When I brought
my
Cambros over to your garage and put them in your garage, that there's quite a collection of hardware back there. And you've got a small deck area, so you've got to keep them all in the garage and then just pull them out. Is that what you do?
Yeah, no, I cook in the garage. You know that.
I know you do.
That's against the rules, by the way. But I roll them out so they're under the eave of the garage. But no,
he's a slow learner.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm not worried about buying any more equipment this year, although I've been looking at one of those big griddles, you know, that Charbroil.
Right.
Has that big one with a Teflon-coated grill. And, but I figured out I've got this great big, you know, I've got enough grills, and I've got this great big camping griddle, and I'll just use that for now. Because
set it right on top of the gas grill.
I just don't use a griddle that much to have to worry about another piece of real estate getting taken up.
Yep, and that's just what it is because it's on rollers, on a cart, right? I can move it around easily. But it does take up real estate. You got to store it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beside the pellet grill, and it's beside the pizza grill.
And there's a good thing. You know, there's a good tip for if you are going to put a roof over an area, make it a big area.
Yeah.
Because trust me, it'll grow
right.
just like your family will.
And the other thing is you got to have prep area around the grill. You can't stack three grills side by side. You got to have some room to set trays with food and meat or whatever on them.
I can show you that you can stack five right around each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a table in there too.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
Right.
You got to have a table. But anyway, so that segment went by just like crazy. But
so pertinent.
This is what happens with the grilling guys. You get two guys together that got ideas, and then they start swapping them. And before you know it, 10 minutes is gone. And you got to say, well.
And no Bloody Marys or anything.
Nothing.
See, we did this totally, you know.
It's bad.
Just on caffeine.
It's very bad. But
there's always a substance involved.
Right. But. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the fuel that you have in your grill, whether it's gas, wood, you know, if you like charcoal. I have an interesting briquette versus lump charcoal conversation I had this week that I want to relate to you because I think a lot of guys maybe could benefit from that. But anyway, you're listening.
So once again, we're not following the show plan.
No, but well, you do kind of because in the next segment, you want to talk about fuels.
No, but, no, but that's okay. Yep. Hey, you just take over and
I've done it before and I'll do it again.
Show.
The show's a lot better if I do it. All right, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. We live it. We love it. Alan Bob.
satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys. I guess we had a little technical difficulty in communications. I was looking at a week-old show plan when I told you I was going to talk about different fuels. If you were tuning in the last segment, so
you know, you could pull up any show plan you want, and we can just go.
Right,
it doesn't matter.
But I'm going to make the segue because I had a guy at work come in to my office a couple days ago, and he goes, "You know, I made a big mistake." I'm like, "What mistake you make?" He goes, "Ah, I went to the store and I wasn't paying attention, and I bought that lump charcoal rather than the briquettes. I've never used that. How do you use that stuff?" And I said, no, you made a great decision. You didn't make a mistake. And so I proceeded to tell him about how lump is hotter. You can reuse it. You don't need as much of it. And he's like, wow, I never even heard of this stuff before. So if you've made that mistake, there are some differences.
It's called Providence.
Right. Yeah. There are some differences. You certainly don't need as much of it because it burns about 50% hotter than a briquette. And then also... when you open the lid on your grill with lump charcoal, it gets this big old gulp of air, and it heats up pretty quick.
Well, hold on. You're relating your Big Green Egg.
Well,
most charcoal grills don't really have that same problem. If you're using a Kamado cooker, they're so tight that it'll actually hold the gas, and it'll build up gases. Most, you know, if you're using a Weber kettle, it's already leaking enough that you don't have that flash.
Right.
You get to keep your eyebrows.
Yeah, right. But anyway, my point was, is there's a learn to use lump. It's better. It's a better flavor. It cooks better.
You just use less of it.
You're right, and you use a lot less of it than you do briquettes, and you're not cooking on clay.
And it doesn't smell.
You're cooking on wood.
It doesn't have that smell that briquettes have.
Right, exactly.
It's called borax.
So anyway. Enough about that, but I had to make the transition from last week to this week.
Yeah, so I thought, but that's good. That's funny that he mistakenly bought the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So ways to grill chicken, I don't know. There's beer can. You can quarter them. You can cut them up and do the parts. You can buy them in parts. You can do a whole chicken offset. What's your favorite way to do chicken?
Well, that's an easy one for me because I like chicken that is flavorful and moist, and that always leads me to a skinless, boneless chicken thigh. And I do them, my favorite way is on my pellet grill, and I usually throw a little marinade. You can put anything on them you want, but I've come to really like one by a company called Allegro, and it's in a tall, skinnier bottle. It's usually on the top shelf because it's taller than most other barbecue or marinade bottles. And they've got one called Tennessee Whiskey. Sobey's got it on his shelves over there. It's like $5.99, $6.99 a bottle, but it's a 16-ounce bottle. So there's quite a bit of it in there. And it's not teriyaki. It's not necessarily sweet as teriyaki, but it's dark colored like that. But it's got a little sweet and a little tang to it, and I'll take the skinless, boneless thighs. I always trim them. They're going to come with like fat hanging on them and stuff, and I don't like to cook that. One, it flames up if you're using anything but the tech, and two, nobody wants to eat chicken fat, really. So I take a knife and I trim them all out, and then I'll throw them in a Ziploc bag with pour a little bit of that Allegro on there.
Do you leave the thighs whole?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I usually cut them in half, because a lot of people that are going to get a piece of meat like that, they're going to want to put it on a bun. And if you leave it whole, it's such a big piece of meat,
mm-hmm.
that it, you know, plus depending on how many you're serving,
right?
If those boned out thighs are done properly and they're good sized chicken, you're going to have a pretty good sized piece of protein there. So depending on how many people you're feeding,
yeah,
you can actually feed more if you cut those in half.
Oh, sure.
And then you've got a little bit easier grill management too. You can move them around the chessboard.
Right. And so a couple things on that. I'll finish the recipe. So then I just put them in the pellet smoker, turn it up to about 270, 30, 35 minutes. They're ready to eat. And it's a set it and forget it. You don't flip them. You don't look at them. You know, if you don't know how your grill performs with something like that, if that's new to you, stick a probe in there. And when they're at 150 degrees, pull them because they'll continue to cook and they'll be fantastic. And they're still juicy and they're so flavorful.
So now if you're serving those thighs in, like if you're making a cordon bleu or anything like that where you're putting toppings or anything like that on it, and you usually use breast meat for cordon bleu, but as an example, if you're serving that skinless, boneless thigh as a main entree protein and that's all you've got, then you might want to leave them whole so they get a little bit bigger piece. But I'm generally feeding a bunch of seagulls and I'm cheap.
No, well, that's okay. I mean, it's what anybody wants. Yeah, I have that exact discussion with the client and see what they want. And some of them like, well, you know, there's half ladies there. Why don't we cut them in half? Because the ladies won't eat as much as men, theoretically.
Half lady, half man.
Well, then you know, I don't
that's
know what to do.
What's going on these days?
Yeah, well, different conversation, Bob. Stick with the chicken.
Not brother. A chicken.
Right. So anyway, no, you're never chicken to talk about anything. But so, you know, that's good. The other thing is with that, I lost my train of thought. I was going to make another point about chicken thighs, but they're good. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Right? And they're, yeah. But they're easy to cook, and they make great sandwiches. They you know, little slider buns or whatever, hamburger buns.
They are nice for that, and they don't dry out like a breast.
Right.
That's the real beauty of it.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily a dark meat, and it's not a light meat. It's like turtle meat. You know, where it's like
or chicken thigh is like turtle meat, right? Or turtle meat is like chicken thigh.
Yeah.
However that goes.
It reminds me a lot of turtle.
Yeah. Well, not a lot of
not squirrel.
I bet if we had a call in right now, there'd be more people that ate squirrel in their life than turtle. But
I don't know. I know one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's our producer.
Right. Oh, Conrad.
He was a reluctant trial, wasn't he?
Right. No, but oh, how fun it was when he took it. Yeah. So what about you, Bob? What's your favorite chicken?
I'm still a big fan of just a chicken thigh, bone on, skin on, slow cooked on the grill. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is still a gorgeous piece of meat. And I do it with the bone side down, heavily flavored. I season both sides real slow, low heat. And I put the bone side down and I let it slow cook like that. So it builds up a nice little char under it. To the point to where that fat is reducing on the skin 50%. And then I know when I flip it, number one, the skin has shrunk a bit, and it's probably bonded a bit to the rest of the meat. But when I flip it, then there's not a big puddle of grease. It doesn't flare so bad, and that's a big deal with chicken grease or any grease, you know, on a grill.
Right.
So for me, that's just the methodology I've employed.
So quick question on that. How do you get that skin crispy? Because nobody likes when that rubbery chicken skin to eat.
When you flipped it, that's what you're getting. And you're absolutely right. And that's the problem with just smoking bone-in thighs.
Right.
It's rubbery.
Right.
And it reminds me of Rob Russell when you said nobody.
Yeah.
Because Rob always, he'd always had nobody for this and that. Or everybody doesn't like that.
Right, yeah.
But when you're doing a competition, like if it's a KCBS competition, they have certain methodology for your serving, for your appearance, for all this and that. But the judges are going to want that skin kind of crispy, so you're going to want to try and flash it somewhere before you plate it.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. That is a big deal. Chicken skin's a little gross, especially if it's not cooked.
All right. Well, coming up next, we got our friend Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Winery that's going to be joining us on the show. He's got a big party going on in a couple weeks, so we're going to have him on the line. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. I know the summer's a busy time, and taking a little time out to listen to the Grillin' Guys, we appreciate you doing that. And one of the things we try to do is keep you in tune with what's going on around you, and not only in your backyard at the grill, but maybe some cool places where you can go.
That's right. And the shocking thing is that I still run into people once in a while who have never been to Fen Valley. So once again, we're going to bring our great sponsor, friend, winemaker, all-around good guy, grilling guy, too.
Right, yeah.
Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley.
Hey, it's been a busy year. You know, everyone asks us how the drought's affecting the grapes. And, you know, it's good for wine grapes. They're you know, their home was a very arid climate. So things are great in the vineyard. We look pretty good out there. Just kind of gearing up for the real season, though. A lot of people come out and visit. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up this year. And, of course, we're busting out the grills whenever we can.
Yeah, and you've got some wonderful grills. They look like those giant drums. But thinking of this water shortage we have, do you do anything to irrigate at all if it gets real, real desperate?
I mean, we've had times where you see a little bit of stress, but new vineyards at this point would be in stress mode, but we don't have any new ones going in this year or anything that's too young. So they're pretty good. Kind of like peach trees where they just kind of like that sandy soil, lack of moisture. They tap down pretty deep where it's still pretty wet, you know,
okay,
feet down. So they're in good shape, looking good out here.
Do they get any of the moisture from the humid Michigan air?
Well, that's a problem for us, you know, not to get too technical on you guys, you know, on a morning show. But yeah, I mean, humidity is a problem for wine grapes just because the grapes are so close together that you get moisture between the berries, and that's kind of a recipe for mold and mildew.
Do they chap? They get sweaty.
They don't drink from the water, but the air water, but they just get a little damp, and we don't like that.
So, you see how sideways
we like to cool the dry weather. Sure.
It gets sideways here so easily. Yeah.
No.
So let's straighten this thing out a minute. So later today, Saturday, June the 10th, you got a little gig going on at the vineyard. Tell us about it.
Well, we're busy every day. You know, this weekend is we're actually turning 50 years old this weekend.
So wow.
This is our 50th anniversary this year, but this weekend is actually the 50th. You know, 50 years ago we acquired the first farm down here in Fenville, and have been doing it here ever since.
So 50 years ago, your grandpa and your father-in-law or your father-in-law and his father, Doug must have been like a 20-year-old man at that time or something.
Yeah, he was just out of college, got his degree in teaching, and went on to make wine. A typical story there. they made a lot of wine at home. He would suggest it was pretty crappy. This is sort of a hobby that got way out of control. So, you know, you got a hobby out there, you know, don't be afraid to go all in, I suppose.
How cool is that? So 50 years. Now, do you have is there a music festival, music in the vineyard today?
Yep. So we do music every Saturday starting. We start a couple weeks ago. We'll run all the way through the summer. We do it Thursdays and Saturdays. Thursdays tend to be more local just because it's, you know, a lot of people just kind of roll down after work. Saturday tends to be a hodgepodge of everybody. And then we got our big wine festival coming up on the 24th of June, which is our annual kind of celebration. And this year, of course, it's going to be extra special because we're ringing in the 50th.
Well, I'll tell you, the music that I've witnessed at your heavenly home there, it's just a wonderful, it's like, I don't know what the Garden of Eden looks like, but I see something like all these women in flowing dresses and glasses of wine and the music playing, and it's, you guys put together just an atmosphere that is fantastic. And the bands you get, I don't know who finds your talent, but man, I think the wine helps them sound better, but they're second to none. They're, for being like out in the country where you are, it's quite the surprise.
Yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate that, you know, we have this great parcel here down in Fenville, about 40 minutes or so south of Grand Rapids, depending where you are. And, you know, it's a really cool spot. We set up the stage so that the backdrop of the stage are the vines. So it's and then there's sort of a natural amphitheater with just kind of how the sloped land works by the building there. And, you know, I'm here every day, and I would agree with you. You get a nice night out there, and you're sitting there, and it still feels sort of magical even after all these years.
That's cool.
And certainly, yeah, we have a great person on our staff that does all the music. It's a lot of work to wrangle in that many acts for the season and make sure they're all there on time, on schedule, you know. But it's a lot of fun, too. You know, customers love it. We like to showcase the farm. You know, that's what we do. So that's a big part of our whole story down here, our whole approach to customer is to let them see how you make good wine. Really make good wine by growing good grapes. That's
yeah,
the way
and
do it.
You see these vineyards depicted in movies, and it looks like so cool, and you just want to be there. Well, you can actually do that right in Michigan at a lot of great vineyards. But I'm telling you, the Southwest Wine Trail is one you want to hit, especially if you like red wines, because these folks at Fen Valley anyway know how to make some nice reds. And that's saying a lot, because red wine drinkers are generally schooled in California wines or Chilean or whatever, French. But you guys, you make some wonderful reds.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, I mean, it's been an evolution. You know, they are the hardest to grow. The reason is they take the longest to ripen. So you're talking about a grape that's going to start its growing season, you know, around early May and have to be out there through the end of October usually. So you're riding out every possible weather event that Michigan throws at us. And so it really does take a lot of work, but also kind of a lot of lessons over the last, you know, 50 years to really dial that in. But yeah, Michigan reds and cool climate reds in general, you know, they're not Napa. You know, we're not trying to be Napa. They're going to be lighter. They're
right.
Going to be a little lower in alcohol. They're going to be a little more fruit centric, but they really serve a great purpose. You know, they're super great, food friendly. You can have a couple glasses because they're a little lower in booze. So they're just a lot to like about them. I like both. I like a lot of different styles of wine, but I appreciate you mentioning that, because a lot of people think Michigan, they don't think
right.
You know, dry red.
Right.
Wine.
Because their wine trips tend to be to Traverse City and it's all whites and they're, you know,
yeah.
they just think that's all we can do.
I mean, down here in Southwest, we have a very similar climate to Bordeaux, France, which, you know, is historically associated with some of the greatest red wines on the face of the earth. If you look at the map, that's where we are. And so, you know, we've got the heat units. Now we just have to, you know, manage the moisture and manage some of the, you know, the fall weather that always, you know, can be awesome or can be pretty heinous.
Yeah.
So, Brian, I want to make sure that we touch on this, because we came down with three couples or four couples last year, and I've got about eight or nine that are going to your festival on the 24th this year. We're going to caravan down there. And the reason that they all want to come back is that you've got a little wine trail right on the property, and it's such a fun day. They're pulling you around on a wagon, on a tractor, and you hit five or six stations throughout the winery where you're serving different tastes of wine. And it was just such a lovely day. And we're out on the farm for an hour, hour and a half doing that little tour. what a wonderful thing. And you charge like what, 10, 15 bucks to get into the festival? That's it, right?
Yeah, it's 10 bucks. We're really recommending you sign up online, fennvalley.com, this year, because we're rolling already at about 50% of our capacity with pre-registrations, which is high. I think the 50th has gotten everybody kind of wound up. So yeah, go online, book your tickets, and you're absolutely right. I think, you know, it's got the traditional festival stuff, you know, food trucks, live music, but then the really unique part are these vineyard stations, we call them, where you can either walk or hop on the grape train, as we call it, and get, you know, pulled around or do a little bit of both.
That's awesome, buddy. And we are out of time. It goes so fast when we have you. We can't wait to see you again. And this is Brian Lesperance, Fenn Valley Winery, Fennville, Michigan. Go check them out.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in. That was Brian Lesperance. We had to cut him a little short. But if you get a chance, look up that June 24 Wine Festival down in Fenn Valley. If you enjoy wine at all, you will be super pleased to go down there for 10 bucks. You get tours, you get tastings, you get bands. It's cool.
I wasn't trying to just compliment our sponsor. I'm honestly, it is, and you know this, because remember the first time we did a gig there, we've served barbecue to hundreds of people, and that storm came through, and we ended up in the cellar.
Right.
Didn't miss a beat. We ended up down in their giant underground storage facility. It's something like out of NORAD, Cheyenne Mountain or something like that. But there's these giant vats, and we're all these little ant people walking around in there. And next thing you know, Brian's tapping one of them, and he's serving wine to everybody, or his girls were.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how cool is that? You know, didn't miss a beat. We did miss the band. They had to tear down, but
right.
The music was still going loud down there.
Right. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great place.
So I was thinking, you know, it'd be nice to talk about thighs and wings, because we kind of beat up on the skinless, boneless thighs, but the regular thighs for chicken are really what I would call the easy beginner chicken food, because I tell that story of the time I left my mom and my father-in-law was living with us, and I like to bring my bone-in thighs up to 180.
Right.
And I left them on for so long that the bottoms got a little darker than I normally. My family thought they were fantastic, and that's because the thighs were actually breaking down the connective tissue, and that's a biggie with thighs.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. They're very forgiving, and they're inexpensive. My son is back with us, as you know, got done with his pro hockey career, so he's in transition, and we sent him to the store, and I wanted skinless, boneless thighs. He grabbed bone-in thighs, and I got back, and I said, well, I wanted skinless, boneless, but these are going to be great, and did the same thing. I said, why don't you go cook them? He's like, well, I don't know. You're the grilling guy. Why don't you cook? I said, no, you do it, man. I said, you bought the things. You're going to go cook them. Learn how to do it. I said, I'll help you. And you know what? He fumbled a little bit, but at the end of the day, they were good, and they're very forgiving. I really believe they are.
It's kind of indicative of us to constantly take over and constantly do it all, and you know, and people are happy to let you do it.
Oh,
all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he just gave you the example of, well, why don't you do it? You know, you're so good. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know why I'm so good? Because
yeah.
I do it a bunch.
Right.
Get out there, you liver lips.
Yeah. So, Wings, we have a great friend, Don Van Dyne. And Don had his 60th birthday party last weekend, and he called me up, and we used to do tailgate events for Don, yeah. And we haven't done one in a couple of years. The universities have gone crazy.
Yeah, with, Michigan State, U of M, they all screwed us over.
Yeah, they've gone. You got to get a lot of catering on campus. But anyway, long story short, is Don asked for three items, and one of them was chicken wings. And I was like, chicken wings? Man, I'm thinking to myself, that's nothing special, but Don loves our chicken wings, and it was really your chicken wings, Bob, that we did for him many, many times when we catered his tailgates. And so tell us about—
What, with the Memphis rub and smoke?
Whatever, yeah, whatever you usually do
and
with
that,
wings.
And that was Rob Russell's favorite way to do it. It wasn't necessarily any idea I had. I just followed his instructions because I was his apprentice at the time.
Right.
Right?
But tell them about it, because it's an easy but a good little recipe.
And the way Rob liked to do them is still an easy and great way to do them. People, you know, you can leave the wing whole or you can break it up. The nice thing about leaving them whole is, number one, it's easier in the prep.
Yep.
Number two, it's a little bigger piece of protein to give somebody so that they don't necessarily grab a whole handful. They might take one or two. And number three, it's got a handle. You leave the flapper on there, and you've got a handle.
The tip nobody eats, right?
Right.
But you've got the drummy part, and the flat is what I call them, and then the tip. And if you leave them whole, you grab the tip, and you can when they're done properly, you can break the flat from the drummy when you want to eat it.
And that's a protein you want to do low and slow on a smoker,
right?
And if you don't have a smoker, do them indirect on your grill. Turn your heat low and put them on the cooler side. And just let that thing go as long as possible. But Rob would always insist on using grapeseed oil.
Right.
Because it has no flavor.
Right.
And he's not wrong. It's just kind of hard to find. And you and I are old world olive fans. So we grab our go-to oils for that. Whatever you like your meat with, particular meat. I know you're a big Persian lime or Meyer lemon. But put your oil on. And we'd always use a Memphis rub because that's what we sold. But, you know, pig's butt or whatever, any of those Memphis style, kind of heavy on the Worcestershire flavoring.
And citrus. There's a little citrus in that Memphis.
Yep.
The Worcestershire and the citrus make it a little tangy. It's not as sweet, but
it's not hot either. No.
It's not hot either.
But there's plenty of ways to go with your flavor profiles.
Oh,
You put a little oil on and put your spices, aromatics, herbs, salt and sugar, of course, and put that baby on the smoker and leave it on as long as you can.
Yeah.
And try not to eat one.
You'll see it because you want that skin to be, it isn't going to get crispy on
the
smoker.
It'll look like it's cryovac.
Right. But yes, it'll start to shrink down and it'll wrinkle up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you know that you're getting close.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, like always, use your barbecue thermometer, stick it in. Don't hit the bone, but right next to it. And you want that stuff 165 on those wings.
Or you might even just, you know, swoop down over it and grab one.
Right, yeah.
Try it.
Right. Nobody likes the blood near to the bone, so just cook them. Just cook them. Give them a little extra love, and you'll be just fine.
They're forgiving. They're forgiving, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's you don't want to overcook a wing, though. And I'd say if you get it up to 180, 185, that's where you want to max it out at. But you definitely want to get it to at least 175, or you're going to have bloody joints or tough connective tissues.
Right, and when those break down at that higher temperature, they're easy to get apart.
Yeah.
And you still may need to run a knife between them so that the skin pops. But
And now if you do smoke them like that, and if you only want to bring them up to 165 or 170, that's okay. Throw them over on the hot grill. And let's finish them off on the grill now and baste them a little bit, throw them on the grill, flash them, get that thing crispened up. It doesn't have to be just smoked. You can put some marks on that thing. And I'm going to tell you that's your opportunity to put a glaze on them. And now you're going to add to the profile. You're going to stack your flavors and you're going to add to your texture because the sugars and salts in that marinade, again, a clean marinade, are going to heighten the ability of that heat to connect and finish. And you're going to end up with I'm getting hungry just thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of the wing places cook their wings. A lot of them are deep fried, and it's not my favorite. But they'll cook their wings however they cook them, and then they put them in a big bowl with seasonings and, like, toss them a couple times and serve them to you.
Right.
Not my favorite. I liked it a little tacky. I like it sticking there a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody, and that's why you have your favorite place,
right?
Because everybody has a different idea about it.
Yep.
As Rob would say, everybody doesn't like.
Yeah, right.
Well, bless his heart. Anyway, some of the guys like to smoke them and then throw them in the deep fryer.
Right.
There's
right.
nothing wrong with that. It crispens them up. And I say if you're going to have. Separated, if you parcel out your wings so that you cut them into pieces, then they're conducive to a deep fryer.
Right.
But if you're going to leave them whole, you're going to struggle putting them in a deep fryer when you're right. done, unless you have a giant basket.
Right. And, you know, the easiest way is to give them those little fry daddies, maybe it's a quarter to oil in it, and have it beside your smoker, and then just take them right from the smoker, drop them in there for 30 seconds.
Or you
and pull
can get
them
an outdoor one like I've got do them right outside where grease belongs.
Right, yeah. All over your driveway. By the way, need the power washer back because I cooked a bunch of stuff in the good one, and when I made the mistake, I pulled the rack out, all the juice from the, you know.
Well, you know, I've got that one that Tukes and I made Generation 7 back in the grill pit. And one thing we have not done yet to that design is fashion in the proper grease spit.
Yeah, right.
And I forgot that one didn't have one, so my first couple cooks, I just put it back there and cooked away. And there was a big grease stain on my house, so I had to take care of that.
Right. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, summer is here. You better be in your backyard firing up a grill or a smoker this weekend because the time is right. We're going to have great weather. I understand.
I thought you were going to say for dancing in the streets.
Well, it's that too, for grilling in the deck. But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in. Have some fun this weekend. And,
hit us at thegrillingguys.com.
There you go.
Get the podcast right there.
All right. Hey, be safe out there, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right. See ya.